So, everyone, welcome back to The Young Americans. This is episode number 5, and we're back with our theme of iconic 80s movie tracks. Today, you're joined with me, Ava, as well as Em.
Hi.
Emma.
Ciao, everybody.
And Colin.
Hello.
Our first track today is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. It's from the 1989 teen romantic comedy Say Anything, starring John Cusack and Ion Sky. Hope y'all enjoy. Welcome back to Young Americans. You just heard In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Alrighty, so we wanted to talk a little bit about our Mostra that we had this past weekend, which will be a few weekends away when this airs. If you don't know already, we're UGA Cortona students, so we are studying abroad here from Georgia, and we're studying art, so we're making a lot of art, and we decided to have a final semester show up at the school, and People from all over the city came to look at it, and it was such a success. So if you went, we personally thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you everybody for coming to see all the things that we've been working on this entire semester. It really means so much to us.
It means a lot, yeah.
It also meant so much that you all made the trek up the hill.
Yeah.
just to see our art.
Yeah, we appreciate that effort alone, even though we did have snacks up there.
We did have a nice spread of snacks and drinks. And the view was magnificent up there, so it's already worth it.
Yeah, the wisteria is in bloom.
But seeing our art, I think, is definitely worth it. But we had a lot of different forms of art on display. We had painting, of course, and drawing, but then we also had printmaking, which is very fun, and book arts and photography, and then we even had 3 videos that were on display that were playing in the background in the gallery, which felt very professional.
Professional
and fun, and just a great mix of media to represent all of our personal interests coming from Georgia. And it was very nice to have Italian people respond to our art, because it's never happened before. Having people respond to your art already is such a gift, but having people respond that you don't even know personally is even more special.
Yeah, hearing people, being able to sort of hover around your work without anyone knowing that you're the artist and watching people respond to it is a really interesting thing anywhere. But especially when a lot of the time, like, I wouldn't be able to understand what people were saying about my things. And so I was going entirely based off of body language and then what my professors told me later, which was just very, very interesting.
Yeah, everyone was so kind.
Yeah, very kind. It was a very nice feeling. There were never moments where I was afraid of what people were
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. There were never moments of doubt or feeling, oh my gosh, was this good enough? Like, everyone was very supportive, very kind. And it was interesting to see people were, like, really genuinely interested. Like, they would hover, they would look, they would ask you questions.
A few people even got offers for their paintings.
Yes, people got offers. I got an offer for painting, which is super exciting. One of our other friends did as well, which is not even what we expected at all. And that's just such an amazing feeling to feel as an artist, to know that someone loves your painting so much that they want to buy from you.
Well, especially bridging that, like, gap between, like,
gap
not being able to speak the same languages.
Exactly, and feeling so separate from Cortona sometimes, being at the top of the hill, being from, you know, 5,000 miles away. Not being able to speak Italian, just having, you know, age differences as well, culture differences. But I feel like that is all kind of, that all dissolves when art is involved, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah.
Well, moving on, our next track is Repo Man by Iggy Pop from the 1984 science fiction, punk rock, comedy, satire film Repo Man, starring Emilio Estevez and the wonderful character actor Harry Dean Stanton. It's a great film, and hope you enjoy this track.
We'll be right back. desert sings, when the desert whispered to me, he said, isn't this a shame? Things will never be the same.
We're back. You just heard the title track from Repo Man by Iggy Pop, and it's probably the hardest track we've played on this show so far. Certainly the only punk song. And thinking about the Mosher and everything is kind of reminding me how surprisingly difficult this semester was. It's been a lot of hard work. I mean, one of the nice things about the Mosher was finally seeing a payoff and being able to display all of your artwork that you thought was really good, and we spent 3 months working on this stuff.
Yeah,
day and night for some people.
Night is emphasized.
Night is
very emphasized.
Lots of nights with no sleep,
but that's okay because you know it's the life of an artist that we've chosen.
No,
that I wouldn't trade for the world. But it has been. It's been a challenging semester, not only academically, but just personally for all of us, being far from home. There's no normalcy really at all. And so, I mean, I don't want to leave. But at the same time, like, it would be nice to feel some normalcy. But
I don't know. I really feel like I fell into a routine.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Some people fall into a routine.
A little, like, off-kilter routine, but it's a routine.
It's not a normal routine, but it is a routine.
Yeah, well, and also I feel like it being as difficult as it was to have a shortened semester, because our semesters back home last a little bit longer. We have a little bit more time to work on things across, you know, that amount of time. But it being shorter and more difficult and also filled with other things. Like, we had a pretty rigid schedule for our outings and when we were eating and when we were sleeping and that kind of thing. I don't know, I tested the limits of the sleeping thing a little bit. But I think that all of that and then having the Mostra have everything come to fruition made it that much better, that much sweeter for us. Because I can say I've had a couple of art shows in my time, and that's probably the best one I've had.
I mean,
so
it's nice. I mean, having an art show and having people look at your art after working out a long time with it is already such a rewarding experience. But especially when you're here, you're working 3 months surrounded by other artists who are at different places, people who want to explore more in the artistic realm. Plus you're in Italy, plus you have the changes of the culture, of the social life, of your just environment. Anyways, combining all of
everyone that, just being so different.
And then having that show, it's just even more sweeter, I think, to like feel like you've kind of accomplished more than you ever have before. And despite the semester being rigorous or challenging, it was like an enjoyable amount, because at the same time you're aware in real time how you're growing as a person and as an artist.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it's so valuable to note that we've made some incredible friends since we've been here. And so getting to see everyone else have a better time than you are when you're already having a really, really good time is pretty amazing.
It's so sweet.
Like, knowing that people have had offers on their work and seeing them, like, you know, have that extra step towards success is... It's so rewarding, you know.
Yeah, it was all worth... It was worth every bit of struggle we had to endure, which... Relatively wasn't actually that much. Yeah. I mean, it was just—it was just a lot of painting and drawing.
It's still a sunny day in Tuscany.
Like that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's no, you know, hard academic stuff. But don't get me wrong—not to write off the time and skill that it takes to make art, because it takes a lot of time, y'all. Lot of time.
It's a little intense sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but nonetheless, very amazing.
Alright, up next is AC/DC with Who Made Who, featured in Stephen King's 1986 horror sci-fi movie Maximum Overdrive.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, no, we were just talking about, if you hear Stephen King directed it, you know all you need to know.
He claims he doesn't remember directing it.
I wonder why.
Interesting.
Surely there were no substances
illicit involved. Illicit substances involved. Yeah, okay, so I currently am very excited for two events that are upcoming in the very near future. I am going to be the witness to both a class-wide boche tournament and foosball tournament.
Molto epico.
Maybe the greatest showdown event.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's
of our
not
time.
Up to the public, so y'all can't come watch and cheer on.
The team me and Emma are a part of, Team Guidobaldo, is definitely going to come home with the victory in both tournaments,
I
believe.
They have been practicing. Ristorante D'Antonio's, we've been playing foosball hardcore
for three months.
Times a week.
Mm-hmm. For 3 months.
It's actually, is it excessive?
It.
Perhaps.
On the days
but
we
is it
don't
worth
play
it?
Foosball,
maybe.
Definitely worth it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I think about how bad I want to play foosball. My fingers.
Okay, but Emma is a wizard. I don't know how they do it. Everyone that competes with them, they lose, and they look back and they're like, how?
It's like you black out during that.
Yeah, you just like you go to a different like realm of existence.
I may be a brick wall, but when Emma touches those foosball handles, it's like a red mist descends. And when they come to, they've won the foosball tournament.
That is, we're not exaggerating.
That's exactly how it goes.
I'm sweating. We've got some sip competition.
They focus. So people have been practicing to compete, but genuinely like. Y'all have to understand, that's how good they are, is that people have begun to practice and form teams just to even have a chance against Emma and Colin. And we're not just saying that because we're their friends. They're very good.
Colin's a lot more proficient than me at Boche, though. I'm sure to any of the Cortinese here, we'd look really silly playing Boche, but we've refined our skills.
I'm not very good, but I will be playing in the tournament. I expect to get out in the first round. You know what? That's okay.
I won't be participating in either, but I will be participating in the moral support.
Yes, I want to be a cheerleader. I'm not gonna participate in the foosball because I'm not very good, but I will cheer everyone on. You know, actually, I'm going to cheer on. I'm going to be like what is it called?
A water boy?
A double agent.
Like Adam Sandler.
And just cheer on different sides and never be consistent. People will get mad at me.
Well, we'll see whether that comes true. This is going to be in the future. This is going to be past the Boche tournament and the foosball tournament when this airs. So.
I was going to say, I haven't rooted against you.
We'll cross reference.
You need to be more humble.
I'm humble.
And if other people beat you, then like that could make you grow as a foosballist.
I don't need to grow.
Well, we'll see at the tournament. So
I can't say it out loud.
I know this
but
is our last episode.
I know where my
We won't be able to update you who wins, but like, it's gonna be Emma and Colin.
Don't jinx it.
Let's contact Andrea as soon as it's over, so he can let people know.
breaking news! Breaking news! We have to announce the winner.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna move on to the next song, which is "Holding Out for a Hero" by Bonnie Tyler. It's from the 1984 dance musical Footloose. It stars Kevin Bacon and Laurie Singer.
Ah!
just heard Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler, featured in the iconic American movie Footloose, and also
it's very
Shrek 2.
Very American of us.
Shrek 2. It's in both of these, I would say, equally iconic movies.
I would say so.
Not an 80s movie, it's just as dear in our hearts.
I don't know if any of y'all seen Shrek 2. That movie is crazy.
It's
what a great soundtrack.
Better than Shrek 1.
They're neck and neck. Like,
which is saying
really
a lot.
It's really hard to make a really good sequel, but they did it. DreamWorks did it. And the scene, okay, both scenes in the movies
are
where
crazy.
This song plays is like the best scene
it's
in
crazy.
The movie.
In Footloose, the song, they put the song over a scene where the main character, Kevin Bacon, and then his antagonist for the entire movie are playing Tractor Chicken, which for those of you who don't know what Tractor Chicken is, it's where you, it's like any other game of chicken, except instead of cars or anything
people.
Else, people, anything, you're riding tractors, which the road speed on tractors is what, like 15 12.
Miles per hour? It's very slow. It's a very anticlimactic.
Well, this song somehow makes
this song
scene
makes it energized.
Very, very energized.
They knew that nobody was going to be interested in the Tractor Chicken unless they put something really intense
out
behind it.
They had to call in Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It did.
It totally worked.
It also worked in Shrek.
I mean, I don't know.
And in Shrek, there's also a battle going on. It's a theme of battles
good
with
and
this
evil.
Song.
Good
because
and evil.
This is a song
and
about
Shrek,
good and
Shrek
evil.
The song is playing while the fairy godmother's singing and there's like the guards are trying
Shrek
to block
and
Shrek from entering.
Shrek
the
Streetwise Hercules.
Yeah, yes.
Alright, so anyways, iconic song. We wanted to shout. Oh, first of all, I just said iconic. Start the tally mark.
Mm-mm.
How many times
yeah.
we say iconic?
You've already said it twice, I think.
I think we've already said it three
and
times.
And I think it was both of you were referring to the song twice.
What can I say? It's iconic. All right, so we wanted to shout out a few of our favorite people or businesses in Cortona before we fly away.
Yes. Cafe Artisti, thank you for babysitting me almost every single day that I've been here. Whether it's on Sunday nights when I have nothing to do and I need tea or dinner,
right.
or we're studying, or quite simply trying to catch a meal before between classes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to cause chaos.
Or to just generally cause chaos. Yes, Cafe Artisti has always been our safe haven.
Yeah, we call lunches there the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
I highly recommend the hamburger di Chianina there.
Interesting. And Ugo at Artisti.
Yeah. Aperitivo at Artisti is
just
power hour.
Power hour. For sure.
Yeah.
Also shout out to the Gastronomia because we are their number one customers.
Yes.
I feel like we're there every day.
Yes.
All of us. All
that's
the people.
She's my mom.
She's single handedly.
She is my mom here.
The Pulpet con Pomodoro are out of this world. Those are the best. Those are the best meatballs I've ever had.
Colin dreams about these meatballs.
We're nourished. Thanks to them.
Yes.
Yes.
So yes. We would go hungry if it wasn't for hunger.
That's
sure.
true. Because we are, whether or not
we're
are in America or in Italy, we are still incompetent college students that can't take care of ourselves.
Yeah, I can cook.
All right.
Colin also eats like two boxes of like instant noodles.
That's true.
Well, that's because they taste good.
I could cook,
but I sometimes
sometimes
you don't have a lot of time.
We have to share a kitchen with 20 people. It's like
that's
sometimes
true.
You just gotta have instant noodles.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting actually getting back into my own like house, like in my own space, and being like having the ability to cook a meal that's not for, like, four other people at once.
I don't know how I'm going to go back to frozen Costco ravioli after.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go back to the frozen ravioli.
Y'all got to start making your own.
No.
That's okay.
No. We will not. Also, shout out to our beloved Bar Cafe Signorelli's.
Yeah, Signorelli's.
Yes.
I just had a sandwich there today. It was very tasty.
I'd like to say that on my birthday, I had the best morning ever at Signorelli's, and I'm going to carry that with me for the rest of my life because it was probably the best birthday ever because
aww.
I got blessed.
So best kisses to Signorelli's.
Yes.
Aww. Very sweet.
Indeed.
Our next track is Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Roger Daltrey. Apparently, it's a cover, right, Em?
It is indeed a cover. The song originally is an Elton John, George Michael song, which is pretty iconic, but...
That's iconic?
Yeah, it is.
Elton John is an icon.
Yeah, but for the sake of including it in our... iconic 80s soundtrack.
We had to feature the version used in the 87 horror comedy coming of age film The Lost Boys, starring Corey Haim, Jason Patrick, a very young Kiefer Sutherland.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
You just heard Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Roger Daltrey from the 1987 horror comedy The Lost Boys. My girlfriend's going to hate this because she loves The Lost Boys. She's got a really cool Lost Boys t-shirt that she wears all the time. But I'm not a big fan, honestly.
Colin doesn't like The Lost Boys.
She thinks it's a little stupid. And and I think it's rated R, but there's not really enough, like, it doesn't really use the R rating very well.
Could have gone further.
It feels like an R-rated movie made for kids.
Oh,
I mean, okay. It's about vampires, right? I don't know. I've never seen this.
Well, they're teenage vampires. Kiefer Sutherland is in it.
So it was like the 80s version of Twilight?
It's very similar. Perhaps. There's a vampire romance subplot.
Okay.
Is there baseball?
There's no baseball, but they hang out at the Santa Monica Pier a lot. I think they play some carnival games at one point. Maybe I'm wrong. I can't remember.
Colin hasn't seen it enough.
But there's plenty of better 80s horror movies to watch, like The Thing by John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah, I think that's true. I definitely have frequented Halloween and Friday the 13th every year.
Halloween and Friday the 13th.
I mean,
Halloween's another John Carpenter movie, too.
I mean, every Halloween. If
Wait,
I'm
is
not
Halloween
doing
the one
something,
with,
that's with
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Or Michael Myers. Well,
not Mike Myers.
I was saying Jamie Lee Curtis. It was on the tip of my tongue.
That was her first movie, wasn't it?
It was her first movie. She looks so cute in that movie.
I mean, talk about a capable heroine. Like, you see everyone else getting murdered.
She made it out.
She made it out. Oh, yeah.
Spoiler, sorry.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the 7,000 sequel movies that have been made since the first Halloween.
Not.
Yeah, spoiler alert, she survives.
Definitely, yeah, she's in the most recent one.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's an icon.
Yeah.
Iconic, if you will.
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to get some John Carpenter music in here, since he does his own scores for those movies, but we passed over the Escape from New York theme, so just listen to that in your own time.
Recommendation, you heard it here first.
Our next track will be the titular track from Weird Science by Oingo Boingo from the 1985 comedy sci-fi film Weird Science, directed by John Hughes, starring Anthony Michael Hall, Ilan Mitchell Smith, and Kelly LeBrock.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention? Magic, heart and from my hand. Why don't people understand my intentions?
And we're back. You just heard Weird Science by Oingo Boingo. Little known fact about Kelly LeBrock, the female lead from Weird Science, the woman that these two horny teenagers create in the film. She was actually Steven Seagal's wife for a period. And if y'all don't...
A short period or a long period?
I don't know. I think it wasn't that long.
I feel
but
like it was short.
If listeners out there don't know who Steven Seagal is, he's... the greatest action star of all time.
All right. Maybe not.
Star.
He's an action star with the greasiest ponytail.
We want to talk about iconic. If you mention to me black puffy shirt, greasy
hair,
jet black hair, most of the time it's in a ponytail.
Soft spoken.
Yeah, definitely.
And great one-liners.
And just Aikido moves that will kill any person.
Yeah, he just kills breaking people's arms every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Hitting people with salami.
And you're gonna think
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a musician too.
Or maybe sad that we're not subjecting you to songs from the Crystal Cave.
This scene is not real. I'm telling you right now, he's
I don't even know. He's a fictional character that somehow like bridged gaps between realms and entered
Steven
our
Seagal plays himself and he's just here. In every movie.
He just
that
plays
he is
himself.
In.
He's like a black belt in karate or something.
No.
Aikido, dude.
Oh, you gotta get it right. Excuse me. Yeah.
Anyways, he like does all his own stunts and things and he's just crazy, right?
He famously beats on stuntmen all day long. Like, stuntmen hate Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Nobody really likes Steven Seagal, but Despite that, he's one of my favorite actors because of how entertaining he makes every film he's in.
He does.
The movies are nuts.
The movies are crazy.
Paula spent the whole semester showing us students about movies.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we don't go a day without dropping one of his one-liners.
No, that's
a casual really conversation.
It's because they're timeless and so applicable to every situation.
Yes.
Filled
with many expletives.
Correct.
But they're as iconic as Steven Seagal is because
legendary.
I said they're iconic.
I said
right?
The I word.
Yeah.
No, the one-liner you missed that I think is incredible is when in Hard to Kill.
Yes.
Where he's looking at the TV and he says, "You're the one who's going to the bank, Senator Trent. The blood bank.
Yeah, the blood bank. I remember that. Oh my god. Yeah. I liked that one.
Sometimes that had Kelly LeBrock in it.
Yeah.
She was the nurse.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's so true.
Wow.
Well, just, I mean, if there's anything we're going to remember from Italy, it's going to be Steven Seagal.
Yeah, famous Italian Steven Seagal.
Yeah, famous Italian Steven Seagal. He was Italian in that one movie we watched.
Yeah, Gino Fellino.
Yeah. Funny little Italian American accent.
It's terrible. It's so terrible for anyone. Yeah, it's awful. Ooh, it's terrible. All right. Moving on. Up next, we've got One for the Mockingbird by Cutting Crew from the 1987 comedy romance film Can't Buy Me Love, starring Patrick Dempsey when he is young and spry, and Amanda Peterson.
Time will tell, and time is all that's
right, welcome back. That was One for the Mockingbird by Cutting Crew from the 1987 comedy romance Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey. This is one of my favorite 80s movies.
I've never seen Can't Buy Me Love.
Great. So essentially the plot is like iconically 80s as well. We've talked about that before, plots being very much from the 80s. This one, essentially, Amanda Peterson is like this really popular girl in school, and she's got a boyfriend that's going away to college, and she wants to wear her mom's designer clothes to a party without permission. Her mom was like, explicitly no, because it was like, oh, it was great. The outfit was amazing. It was like a white suede dress and a matching jacket and like boots. Oh my God, it was amazing. But she goes to the party, and she ruins the outfit, and she has to go back to the store and get like another outfit, and it's like $1,000. And that's when Patrick Dempsey comes in, and he is a giant nerd, and he's going to the mall to buy a telescope for $1,000.
And what
he sees
her,
yes, and he sees her like basically through like a pair of binoculars, like by chance, like doing this, and is like, I can save her, I can do this. And so he comes up, and he's like, I can help or whatever, and she's like, what's in it for you, basically. And so the rest of the movie is about her making him popular, and then he lets it all go to his head, and he's trying.
So does he become popular?
He does become popular. He becomes too popular.
Does he become like a
he's
jerk?
A jerk. Yeah, he becomes a total jerk, and then she's like, actually, like, she's like anyone is a multifaceted person, and she actually like has interests outside of being popular, and they sort of bond, but then he becomes a jerk and he loses the girl, and it all comes to this wonderful resolution in the end, as all iconic 80s romance films do, where he rides to her house on a lawnmower and they ride away into the sunset on a lawnmower after they've made up, and it's amazing.
Like on the street, just like driving a lawnmower.
Yes,
people driving lawnmowers in the street is always funny.
It's so funny.
It is, and it's become like one of those things. Like, I mean, we talk about John Cusack and Say Anything, where he's holding the boombox outside of her window. I don't remember the character's name, but yeah, that's essentially it. It became one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, if you haven't seen it, you definitely should watch it, because it's got some crazy moments in it.
You know, George Jones had to ride a lawnmower with a country music star because he got too many DUIs, because he kept going to the liquor store to get booze, and they were like, George Jones, you can't drive the store anymore. You keep getting DUIs, and so he said, you're not keeping me from the liquor. And he got in his lawnmower and he drove down the highway with the cops chasing him on the lawnmower.
No way.
I've seen it
all for this movie.
Back home in Atlanta.
No.
Oh, well, if you come out to
the... No, that is so dangerous.
Dude, if you come out to the Sticks anywhere in
Athens
area...
In McDonough, there are people who rode horses around on the streets.
That happens too.
No.
But this was like off I-85.
That sounds like so dangerous.
Sometimes you gotta get the tractor somewhere.
It's dangerous to drive a car on I-85.
Like, was he like...
It was like one of the ones that were like taller than a real car. So he was like up there.
That's not a lawnmower. That's like a tractor.
But it was like the kind that has like the...
That doesn't make sense to anyone who's listening right now.
Yeah, that's true.
It cuts the grass. It's a big one.
Okay, all right. I understand.
I see.
All right, well, moving on from that... very interesting conversation about tractors and lawnmowers. We're going to go into our next track, Dancing in Heaven, Orbital Bebop by Q-Feel. This is also one of my guilty pleasure 80s romance films. It's from the 1985 musical comedy film Girls Just Want to Have Fun, with Sarah Jessica Parker when she is also very young.
Ooh.
And Helen Hunt and Lee Montgomery.
Slow, slow, quick, slow. Countdown, it's going.
Alrighty, welcome back. You just heard Dancing in Heaven, Orbital Bebop by Q Feel from the 1985 musical comedy film Girls Just Wanna Have Fun with Sarah Jessica Parker. She's very young in this movie. And it's interesting to see her other stuff first and then go back and be like, wow, this is a musical dance movie.
What else has she been in?
She's in Sex and the City. That's what I know her from. And other things
we cannot
okay,
name.
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, she's been acting since the 80s, so, you know. Anyways, we're having a good time listening to our music, but we're also under the shadow looming among us of how we're going to have to go home in a couple days.
Literally in 3 days, we're leaving Cortona. We're not going home, but we're leaving
Cortona.
Yeah,
we are leaving
Cortona
in 3 days, and then we are leaving
the
country.
When y'all hear this, we'll be far gone. We'll be back in the sweet old south of Georgia.
The sweet old south?
The sweet old south, I guess.
Just send you a peach.
We'll send you a peach.
And when we get off the plane, it's going to be 10,000 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're going to hit a wall of 90% humidity.
Yeah.
And all swoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've totally lost our edge.
Awful.
I have cried about leaving.
No, I definitely have cried about leaving.
No, Friday night or Friday, like just the last full day we are here, I'm just going to constantly be, you might see just a tear coming down my face at any given moment.
I am going
to
be just an absolute tornado. Like, I'm going to be the worst to deal with.
A hurricane,
just
if you will.
I'm going to, yeah, a hurricane. Tornado, yeah.
Chaos and rain.
Yeah.
That's
the rain,
us.
The rain being
the rain
my torrential
will be the
tears. Yeah.
Yes, just forget your passport here so you have to come back and spend an extra day.
Oh no, and then you're stuck. But then you get banned from the European Union because you're here for too long.
That is true. Our visas run out, which is unfortunate because, like, we wish we could stay and travel Europe or just travel Italy more, but we genuinely would be like,
We have a three-day gap between the time our program ends and when our visa runs out. So 3 days, and that's it. We're on the run.
After you? Interpol?
I guess. I don't know. The Italian government. Then subsequent governments.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with the Carabinieri if you try to stay there.
Right, the governments we flee to.
Respect, but you don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely.
I don't know if you guys will be grateful for the peace and quiet that comes with...
You will not have to deal with our little shenanigans.
Yeah, no, my brain's going to be completely empty as soon as I land and step off the flight in Hartsfield-Jackson.
I'm just going to be like,
International Airport.
I'm going to be overwhelmed, confused. I'm going to be like, wait, this is actually my life, like, again?
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was, I was telling my friends the other day, I was like, for some reason, like, I knew this was 3 months long.
Yeah.
But in my head, I said, no, this is forever.
It's going to go on forever.
In my mind,
never.
I was like, this is forever. This is just our life now, right? And then just like last week, it was like we were very much reminded that it is not forever.
Yeah, my roommate started packing, and I was like, "What are you doing? Why are you putting your things away?
Like,
Are you going on a trip?
Where are you going?
When are you coming home? Yeah, yeah,
it's
gonna be.
We will miss you dearly, but we're so grateful for the time that we had here, for sure. Our next song is "When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky" by the Jeff Healey Band. It is from the 1989 action thriller Roadhouse. It stars the amazing Patrick Swayze.
He's iconic.
Okay, Patrick Swayze is definitely
the I word for anyone.
Legendary, iconic, Patrick amazing, yeah. Wonderful, fantastic Patrick Swayze.
Really, three icons in the movie. Sam Elliott and Ben Gazzara are incredible.
And Kelly Lynch, and finally Ben Gazzara. And fun fact, it was actually originally written
the
by
song.
Bob
the
Dylan.
Song was originally written.
Yes, not the movie.
Not Roadhouse.
Not the movie, but the song by the Jeff Healey Band was written by Bob Dylan. So, hope y'all enjoy.
Thank you.
Alright, you just heard When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky. Hope you liked the tune. Well, y'all, this is our final song of the fifth and final episode of The Young Americans of the spring semester of 2022. Words cannot describe how thankful we are for the radio station, for the people of Cortona, for UGA, for this amazing, amazing, just...
wonderful,
indescribable experience.
This wouldn't have even happened without Andrea.
Oh yeah,
and Andrea, shout out to him as well. This is such a fun thing that we've been doing for the past 3 weeks, and our other classmates have also had the opportunity to do it as well. It's just such a unique experience, not only to do radio and DJ in general, but to do it in Cortona.
Yeah, well, and special. I personally have not had any experience with radio, and so being able to be given the wonderful opportunity of, you know, venturing into this new world has been amazing. So once again, thank you to Andrea for giving us the opportunity, and for coming to see our show. Andrea made the trek up the hill to see the Mostra, and it was wonderful.
Yes.
So yeah, that, and then I think we all have some thank yous and goodbyes we'd like to say.
Thank you to Cortona. Like, this is just a little like, not to the people of Cortona, just the city of Cortona. I just want to, like, you know, obviously.
You're excluding the people.
First of all, I'm saying, like, thank you to Cortona.
We're talking brick and mortar.
Cortona and the atmosphere of Cortona, the view of Cortona, the feelings that Cortona gives you. But then also just thank you to all the kind people who have just even taken the time out of their day to stop and ask us about ourselves, which is very, very kind and generous. You know, people we've met at the bars, people we've met at restaurants, who are genuinely interested in what we make, what we're doing here.
Or just to be friendly. And just to be very, very friendly to us. Yeah.
And to all of the, you know, the voucher restaurants that have us.
That's true.
Because we frequent a lot of restaurants here during the week that are so kind to us and so accommodating. So I can't even... I could spend 20 minutes, but...
Definitely does.
Yes. And also shout out to Antonio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the volunteers and all the wonderful, loving dogs at the Kinney Lane.
We said goodbye to the dogs today.
We've been walking these dogs once a week since we got here.
Yeah.
And, it was just sad.
We were earlier trying to figure out the way that we could smuggle
like
a dog onto the plane.
They were the most loving, wonderful
they really
dogs
are. They're very sweet.
And the volunteers there are doing incredible things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we've got our Kinile friends, and then also shout out to Antonio truly for
feeding us
3 times a week, for catering our meals for our Mostra, for coming and bringing our food up the hill when members of our program had COVID for like 2 or 3 weeks.
It was so nice to be able to give him that little birthday celebration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He also had a joint Mostra birthday celebration for Antonio, and I hope only in part paid him back for all of the things that he's done for us.
Yeah. And we already shouted out the gastronomia. They're amazing. The people at the Molasini's grocery store that we see all the time that are very, you know, they are accommodating for our language barriers and whatnot, and they help us find things, which is very sweet. And also just, like, people in the shops. I would say, like, the people at the cafes, all the wait staff that have learned to know us.
Francesca, everyone that works at RTC, everyone that's been in, you know, any cafe that we go into that's kind enough to serve us, and then also our NCC drivers.
Oh, yes, the taxi drivers.
Our bus drivers.
Mm-hmm. Drivers, for sure, they're very kind.
We could not have done anything without anyone.
we're very dependent on the people here, and they've done more than deliver what we could have possibly asked for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, just a big thank you to the UGA staff here in Cortona.
Absolutely.
Christine Schramer,
Enzo.
And Mark Taggart. And
shout out to Enzo.
All of our professors.
An icon.
Yes.
A queen. We call her the queen of Cortona.
Yeah. Enzo being there for any and all problems that we would have. Our professors.
A wonderful
Mark
RA.
Taggart. Philippa Sinner.
Sarah.
Our dorm mom.
Sarah.
Emily Hansen, our esteemed art history professor, who we are all currently working on a paper for.
Yes, I
promise I'll finish writing it tonight.
Actually,
I promise.
I'm not promising that. Sorry, it's our last 3 days in Cortona.
We are so eternally grateful
to everybody who made this possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, remember you can tune in on the dial at 88.4 and 92.8 FM or online at www.radioandcountry.org. And signing off for the last time as your iconic 80 movies crew with I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes from the 1987 film Dirty Dancing.
One of our faves.
Starring Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey, which I think is an excellent final scene.
Yeah, we had to end with our iconic 80s with an iconic song.
Yes, such an iconic song. Doing an airlift.
Picture us dancing,
all the way back to Atlanta.
Dancing down the aisles, just having a fantastic time and looking back about, you know, they look back at the amazing summer they had, looking back at the amazing semester we had in Cortona. Yeah. So, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Ciao.
The Young Americans signing off.